Parshas Vayetzchi. At the end, we have the story of Miriam, which later on in the Torah, the Torah actually tells us there's a key to remember what the Rosh did to Miriam. So it's a mitzvah say. I once heard from the Rashi Revise the Gozband. He said, L'chor es loshon hara, to talk about Miriam like this. So why is it mutter to have a mitzvah to remember exactly what happened to Miriam about loshon hara, if that itself was loshon hara about Miriam? So that pashas this of being to say negative about somebody who's amazed is only mecher mekanmoidim. That's the Chofetz Chaim says, it doesn't go into the Ikra Din. But he says that Miriam was nichola, so that we should learn from her. So that's going to be a tikkun for her. What she did wrong was we should learn the lessons from Miriam. So the Chofetz Chaim, in Shiras Loshon Chelek Sheni, Parshas Baloyscha takes out four limudim from the story of Miriam about regards to Lashon Hara. I want to touch on some of them, but I want to go back a step. I want to talk about the problem with Lashon Hara. And I think I want to say two points. I think the first step in the problem with Lashon Hara is that's not the problem. The problem is not Lashon Hara. The problem is lack of Lashon Tov. So I had a story which took place. So I have to explain the background of the culture to understand the story. So this is Tel Shiva, 1980, something like that. That's a few years ago. So Tel Shiva is the base medrash is Kodesh Kodashim, right? There's a water fountain in the building. Like that's about as much as there is in the Beis Medrash building. There's no telephones. There's nothing else in the building. At one point in time, they tried to push. They should put a soda vending machine somewhere in the building. And Shiva Zichr Lebracha went through the roof. You sit learning Torah with your feet up, drinking soda pop. It was his description of it. Right, good Midwestern. Right. That's not it. Seder, this is Tells. Seder is like the Velt used to say about Tells, that that any person learned in Tells, he served his time. You know, it's like Tells had the elements of being very, very Masuder. So my Tells over here are laughing, and they have no idea what I'm talking about, because there's no shaykhs what they lived through to what I lived through. First Seder started at 9:30, the Mashgiach was standing at the door every day. And if you'd walk in late, he'd give you a look. He'd look at his watch. A little bit later, there was more than just looking at his watch, and then a little bit, et cetera. This was every single day, in Beis Medrash, not in high school, in Beis Medrash. The dorm was checked every single day. The Beis Medrash dorm was checked, make sure that your rooms were neat. And the checking was not only by the dorm Mashgiach, but once in a while Rashiva would go through, Gifta would go through the rooms to make sure that they should look befitting for Ben Torah. And he would leave notes. You get a note from Rashiva, this room is not befitting for Ben Torah. Once you actually got a note from Rashiva, this room is befitting for Ben Torah. So my roommate put it up on the bulletin board in the room. And I was like, you can't do that, because Rashiva's going to come and like, he's not going to be happy. It's okay. Well, he wasn't happy. But to go back in the dorm in the middle of for Seder was like unheard of. It was at the end of Seder going into Shir, and I went to the coat room to get, I had a notebook over there, and as I walk in, there's a bacher like coming back from the dorm with two oranges, like to eat an orange before Shir. So he went to the dorm middle of Seder. And one of the older Yungalites, Mashkiach, whatever, happened to walk into the coat room just at the same time. So I was waiting for the reaction, to see what the reaction's going to be. So the reactions could be one of three things. Right? The reaction could be, speak to him about the fact that you don't go to the dorm of the Seder, how strongly he wanted to word it, etc. The reaction could be that he could just ignore it and decide that right now it's not the proper time to deal with it. Or the reaction could be that he would make some type of a joke, which is a way to acknowledge the fact that it existed, that he noticed it, but he didn't want to get involved in it. So you make him like, you didn't bring me one, you know. It's such a line which allows it to be that he's addressing the issue. He didn't do any of those. He looked at the bacher, looked him straight in the eye, and he said, "Oh, that's so sweet that you thought about somebody else. You brought two oranges, one for yourself and one for somebody else," which was true. He had brought one for somebody else as well. And he walked out of the coat room. Now, the bacher felt like $1 million, that the mashgiach caught him, you know, and had built him up in saying that he's a good person. I'm sure at some point in the future, he probably spoke to him about, the timing, etc. But I remember saying the bacher, the bacher obviously was expecting something a little more stronger than that, shall we say, in a more negative tone. And he was just, you could see the relief in his face, but more than just relief, you could see the fact that he felt so good about himself. And I said to myself, this is one of those moments of revelation that you have. It says, a human being's power speech is so powerful that you can make a person feel so good about himself with words. Why would any idiot waste it on saying negative things? It's the most stupidest thing in the world. You can do such powerful accomplishments of toiv with your speech. Why would you want to do anything else? So I think a lot of the problems I have with about the conversations about the Isra Lashon Hara and the et cetera, it misses this point. That's not the issue. The issue is the Rosh Hashanah gave us this tremendous keli, which is the power to communicate to somebody else. And we can use that power in such a positive way and accomplish such tremendous things with it. And it's wasted. So, Bochum, one Bochum to the next, they're not going to start giving each other compliments. It's the passage of Bochum to Bochum, they don't do those type of things. But there's a way to communicate once in a while, right? That you like the guy, that you think he's a great guy. You think positive of him. There's ways to communicate that. That you really appreciate the fact that you have a friendship. You appreciate the fact that he's such a trustworthy person, that he's such a deep person, that he's such a good person, that he shares with you, he helps you, that you appreciate the relationship. There's ways of saying it even for a bacher. Again, it's not mushy, bachers aren't mushy with each other, and that's fine, that's normal, right? But there's a way to communicate. And the other person, of course, that's part of being a bacher, right? But deep down, he really enjoyed hearing that. He won't admit it, because that pasnish, that's a bacher. But that doesn't make a difference. But you have to communicate that to somebody else. And you're gonna, and he won't tell you anything about it, but it registers. And it makes a difference in a person's confidence and a person's ability. That's the first point. Second point, which is maybe on the other end of the spectrum, which again, I think a lot of the conversations about Lashon Hara seem to miss this point. I once had the Mashgiach in the Yeshiva tells Rabbi Yaakov Kohn. He's much more of a lamdan than he is a mashgiach. That's explain something. This man is called Kula Torah. He spends the whole day learning. The yeshiva had to give him a job to his Japan. So they gave him a job mashgiach, Good. So he once had the following shiloh. So he says that we know the Chazal say that, that Re'iyah is the equivalent and greater of Shmiah. We know that there's an Isser of Shmiah's Lashon Hara. So is there an Isser of Re'iyah's Lashon Hara? That was his shayla. So I asked him, how exactly do you see Lashon Hara? He says, well, imagine the following story. He says, imagine there's a rumor going around the town. So you have an area of town, which is all Shomer Shabbos, that somebody is not keeping Shabbos. Right? That's the rumor going around. One Friday night, you get up early in the morning, and the baby wakes up, and you hear somebody starting the car. No sirens, no noise, nothing. Nobody's sick as far as you know, etc. And you're really curious to know who it is, who's driving on Shabbos. So you want to stick your head out the window to see who it is.
Is that usher? Shmias lashon. This is riyas lashon hara. You're seeing negative about somebody. Is that usher? That was Ishaya. So I remember this conversation went around the Beis Medrash, because if anybody knows Rabbi Yaakov Cohen, understand that this, he asked every single person in the whole Beis Medrash what they thought about it, right? And he made a tumult out of the question. I told him, I think it's a shlaw, which the Chofetz Chaim quotes. So the shlaw, the pasuk says, "L'shina rochel b'mecha." That's how the Torah writes the Isser of Isser of Lashon Hara. So Rashi says, what's the Lashon L'shina rochel b'mecha? What does it mean? What do the words mean, L'shina rochel b'mecha? He says, because that it was a common thing amongst the Balei Lashon Hara, what they would do is they would go from place to place to pick up tidbits of information, and then drop him off by the next place. So he got a Reuven's tent and Shmuz, and while he was there, he would notice, right? And then he would go to the next to tent. So, you know what I saw? A Reuven's tent? Right? So that's what Rashi Taitan was telling Rachel about. Because the Rachel, the traveling salesman, what do? They went to farm number one, and they sold some of this, they bought some of that. They go to farm number two, and they sell some of that, and they buy some of this. So that's how they did things. The Zalbazakdo. Comes along the Shlach Kaddish that the Chofetz Chaim quotes. It says, so why is the Torah write the Lashon L'Shina Rochel B'mecha? To tell you that the Isser starts as soon as you go. The Isser is not telling Lashon Hara at the end. So this is, when's the Isser? He goes to tent number one. He sees all of the Shmutz. He goes to tent number two, and he says the moment of the Aveir is in tent number two, and he says the wrong things. So no. The Aveir starts, as soon as he starts going to tent number one. That's what the Shlach Kaddish says. So the Isser is not saying Lashon Hara. The Isser is, why are you spending your life looking at people's other lives to talk about that? Like, what's wrong with your life that's what you want to do with your life? Like, how empty are you, and what's missing in your accomplishments in life, and your interests in life, and your feeling about that you have what to do with life? Because any person who has anything positive to do with their life has better things to do than walking around the tent to tent and seeing interesting things about other people and talking about them. So I once heard a recording for Matas Yo, Solomon Shlita, should be gesund, that, he's an Englishman. This actually was recorded in, he was still in Gateshead. And he said that the Isser of the Torah is not to be a nosy parker. That was the phrase that he used. So for all of those who are not familiar with English, right, and you speak American, nosy parker means a busybody. The Isser of the Torah is, don't be a busybody. That's the Isser of Lashon Hara. So I want to be masber that Makuda, that on its own is significant. But I think it's more to it than that. Because I'll say by Haman that nobody knew how to speak Lashon Hara, Lishabisha, like Haman. Haman was like the best person in Lashon Hara in the world. He said negative things about Klal Yisrael. I mean, I don't see that that's really such an extraordinary koyach. I mean, he said Klal Yisrael some things. What does Chazal mean that Haman was this phenomenal Baal Lashon Hara? He had such a good, he was so good at it. You might not learn from him, but in case you ever want to speak Lashon Hara, you got to see what he does. What was so good? How was he so good at it? A long arichas, don't have time for it because she was an hour, then it's a half an hour. So the Goyin points out, Chaim Vital, the Goyin, that the primary one of the Sarsa Dibris is Lois Dachmai. The Misper Yud is, we find Alpi Kabbalah is Misper Akarlol. So out of the Sarsa Dibris, the one which is the most significant, so the one which includes everything else, is the Misper of Lois Dachmai. Which needs to explain, don't be jealous is a very significant thing, but that's more kerlel than Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and Zochri Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshoi, and Kibbut Av V'Aim, and L'Sirtzach. L'Sachman is the one which is kerlel everything. Haloi Dabruhu. Akina Batai B'Kovim Masina Sodom in Oilam. So imagine like this. imagine there was, I once took a public speaking course in the summer of 1982. Took a public speaking course, and one of the things which the presenter of the course said is, don't use mashalim about kings, because people don't like the kings nowadays. So I'm about to not listen to him, because this mashal needs a king. Like, presidents don't do it, you know, I don't know, prime ministers don't do it. You need a king. Okay, so we're going to use a king. So there was once a king, and he had his country, and whatever that means, the king, you know, the power of life and death. And he has a country, tremendous resources, a very large country, and everything belongs to him. He can do whatever he wants. But this king, besides having that, was extremely brilliant, extremely caring, wise, sagacious, and he loved his citizens. And he had an arrangement that any citizen which wished could have a private audience with the king. The simplest citizen in the country can make an audience with the king and discuss his issues, and the king would give advice and help, etc., as was his ability. So, of course, that's a tremendous opportunity, and this person makes up, he wants to meet with the king. Obviously, it's months and months before he gets his opportunity, and he gets a three-hour block private time with the king, and the king's not to be disturbed. He's meeting with one of his citizens. So he goes to the palace. Obviously, that day, he's in tremendous trepidation. He's scared, the awe of the king. The king has a power of life and death. It was an overwhelming experience. He walks in, and the king is warm, just like so warm and caring. And the king is so brilliant, and he's so sagacious, and he's so wise, and he's so interested in him, and he's focused on him. So what's the emotion that a person's going to have at that moment? The emotion of like being totally secure and cared for by this powerful being, this individual who has tremendous resources at his, and he's focusing on him, and he's talking to him, and he's understanding him, and he gets it, and he gives advice, and he gives help. And he gives him a special way to contact him whenever he needs help further. And he feels totally enveloped with warmth and care. At that moment, he looks out the window and he notices his neighbor from down the block is driving the latest wagon, right? Because it's the king, so are the wagons, right? You know. And he comes by and he pulls on the donkey's tail to like honk the horn. Look at my wagon, ha ha ha, I have a better wagon than you. What's his reaction going to be? You know what? Zunt the hate, he should have his wagon. I feel so warm and so secure and so cared for. I'm so comfortable and happy with where I am. You know what? You should have whatever you want also. I'm happy to get, you should have also. I don't feel jealous because I'm in a state of being of such contentment and security. I don't feel a need to be better than you to feel good about myself. I'm very comfortable with where I am. There's a word in Yiddish, forgiven. I forgive you. Something to hate, so you should also have. That's Loisachman. This Loisachman means, the mitzvah Loisachman means, you need to take an Anochi Hashem Elokecha and make it real. It's not a belief. It's a reality in your life. You need to feel the Breshman's presence, that the security of living in his arms with such a clarity. The Menachem says, I mamash feel kigmul, that mamash like my mother's cradling me in her arms. That's my relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm being cradled. The child who's being cradled in its mother's arms is not jealous of somebody else. It's not, he's not good, it's not bad, it's irrelevant. I live in a world of a security and a contentment and a happiness, which is so powerful that you're not relevant to me. Good or bad, is it the hate? You should have. That's the mitzvah Loisach. Hakina v'hataiv v'hakobet mesinas odom min olam. What olam is it taking you out of? That olam. You're living in a world where you're with in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's arms, and you're focusing on somebody, what somebody else has? Like, why? You're looking for somebody to give you recognition, covered? Why? Why would you want to do that? You're pulling yourself out of reality. The reality is you live in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's arms, and you're totally cared for, and you're secure, and you're changing the world. You're living in a non-reality, real world where there's competition and there's better and there's worse and there's me and there's you and the whole thing is not, it doesn't exist. You don't live in the world. You live in this, and in the world of Lashon Hara, the world of being the nosy Parker is that world. Lashon Hara is that I make my focus, I'm focusing on somebody else in a negative way. You know what? yes, it's, I as much as I'm secure in my world, I need to focus on you to be able to help you, to care for you, to be interested in you. But what? But negative? Like, why are you on my radar screen for negativity? The only way that's possible is I've left my world. I've left the world of reality of living in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's arms. And from that vantage point, people, there's negative and there's positive and there's people and there's attitudes and there's problems and there's competition and there's pain and all those wonderful things which we grapple with are all not real. So Lashon Hara is a horrible problem because it's so not the reality of the world. It's so verkrumt in what it means, that the way we're supposed to live. It's so not what human being is, what a Ben Yisrael is. The problem is not when you say the words. The problem is when you want to look out the window and see what's happening with the guy. Why? What do you get out of it? Yes, if you tell me you do because you want to know, because you want to go help the person, it's a beautiful thing. But Stam, you're curious to know that somebody's doing something wrong. Why are you curious? You don't have enough in your own life which is to fill you up and feel good about, that you need to look at that of somebody else. I can't say this about Miriam, because it's not my welcome to say it about Miriam, but it's her fault, Miriam. He says, "Im amra echad al gadol hamadina, hanagosa en lefi gedulasoi." He's overacting. He's reaching beyond where he should be. He thinks he's better than he is. Yeah, there are people that the Yachid Shebedaroi deserve such a thing. He's not a Yachid Shebedaroi. He's a rav in wherever. In any town, USA, the Rav anything doesn't deserve to act like that. The Moshe Feinstein has the right to act like that. He's not a Moshe Feinstein. It's Gevul Feyerkoi. It's Lashon Hara Gemura. So Chazal say that they compare Moshe to the Ovis. That's not a bad compliment. You compare me to the Ovis, they say, well, that's pretty nice. Right? But for Moshe Beno, that was an insult. But why are you measuring him? Well, you know, Moshe was not like this. If he's the obvious, it's not enough, it's too much. Like, what are you doing? Why is that what's life? How does that turn his mukam in your life? It's a fascinating thing to me, the concept of Dalma Kavshus. Dalma Kavshus, which they didn't Dalma Kavshus. He was not a certain way. And they assumed it's because he was a Baal Gaiva. Maybe he's not there because that's what he's supposed to do. Don the Chavstus. I better dear. Don't down, period. Like, why we why is it I'm supposed to sit in judgment on the world? I pass judgment for good. I pass judgment for bad. Like, who made me the Balabas? Like, I get to decide whether the world is good or bad. Do I get on the bus? That guy, too much of this. That guy over there, too much of that. Like, you get in one of those moods. You're like, you know, like everybody, like everybody's bad. You know, like, you know, get on the bus. Like, she's not so sneistic, and he talks too much, and this guy is such a couple guy. But like, you know, you're one of those moods. Like, what's your problem? And that's exactly the description. You're in a mood. Well, why are you in a mood? What's it? I'm sitting on the bus, and you know, I'm judging everybody. Sitting makes better, you know. That buck over there, he really thinks he's better than he is. He really is. You know, he has a stickle problem with his guy. Like, you know, he flaunts his, you know, his sitkis too much. That guy over there, you know, he's got to get a life. That guy over there, like, you know, he's a stickle not frum enough. You're like, you know, he wears his shirt open with, like, only two buttons closed, you know, from the bottom. Like, you know, what's your business? Why are you judging somebody? Okay, so there are scenarios you need to judge, right? Because they're going to affect you. But it's impossible to judge, which that's first of all, because you never know the whole story. The Sefer Chaim Moriz has said, like, you know, he says, the Rosh created everything in the world for a reason. So why did the Rosh create a krumel cup? Like, what purpose can a krumel cup have in the Welt? Like, everything makes sense, but a krumel cup? He said, a krumel cup is for the purpose of Don Lechavskus, he said. So, I mean, it's a cute vitz, right? But what does it mean? It means that you don't know the story. Right? Well, maybe the reason why the person slowed down in front of me by the light, not because they don't like me, and because they're a bad driver, and because, you know, whatever, right? Because their car, it's because there's a child in the back seat, which they're not feeling well, and they don't want to go too fast. I don't know that. Yeah, probably there's a child over there. What's this probably? But driving is a very good, you know, like, we depending on the mood, like, when you're driving, much of the whole world is a problem. Like, I'm driving, and everyone in the world is in my way. This guy goes too fast, this guy goes too slow, this guy goes in the left lane too long, this guy goes in the right lane too long. Everybody's a problem. Like, it's weird. I mean, if you stop from the outside and look into, like, what is your problem that you're busy judging the whole world why they're driving? And Hekate said that you're the owner of the road. But we look at that as like almost normal. Every once in a while we get a chance to see how not on target we are. I just saw a story recently, a person describes, sitting on the train traveling somewhere, the subway, you know, it was towards the end of rush hour, whatever it was, but it was quiet, you know, it was a quiet car, but he was enjoying himself, relaxing, reading, whatever it was. Stop. Person comes into the train, a man with two or three little children. He sits down, and the kids are mamish, making noise, jumping up and down, hitting people. It was like, and he's ignoring the whole thing. So what's this fella's problem? Like, you know, he doesn't take care of his kids, you know, what type of father is he? Blah, 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 blah. Finally, the guy says, you know, he's sitting next to the guy, he says, you know, maybe you want to, you know, like, just rein in your children a little bit. He says, you know, you're probably right, but their mother just passed away an hour ago, and this is how they're dealing with it, and I don't think I really have the strength to deal with it right now. So now our seatmate feels like an absolute idiot. He is. But he was an idiot before he started. Because how do you know what's going on in somebody's life while he's doing something? Oh, he's a bad father. Like, stop it. But we call that normal. What's wrong with us? Because we have an emptiness inside of ourselves, and we're not filled and satisfied enough with our own realities and our own lives, and the satisfaction that our lives are doing what they want to accomplish. And feeling the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in our lives, and that care and that concern and that security, and because of that, we're busy spending our time staring at the rest of the world. That's the root of the problem of lashon hara. The person who has that clarity, it doesn't have to spend his time judging you. I don't mind saying in the yeshiva there was a bacher. See, I'm not really mashgiach anymore, but I still get a little bit of that. Shay, whatever it is. So there was a bacher came here. He had a chip in his shoulder, or maybe a lung in his shoulder, whatever it was. And he decided, like, Rav Aaron is like very permissive, and Rabbi Reingold is the mashgiach. So he has to be thinking negatively of me because that's what mashgiachim do. And we have this like sort of like negative relationship. And like, what do I tell him? Finally, I said, you know, can I ask you a question? Like, why are you always like so touchy when I get near you? He says, because the Rebbe's thinking bad thoughts about me. I says, why do you say that? Because he says, I see Rebbe staring at me. So I said to him, I don't want to burst your bubble. I'm looking at the guy behind you. My heck, I said, I'm looking at you. You're not so important to me that I should spend my time looking at you. He said, really? I said, yeah. Like, I'm sorry. You're just not that important to me. That I spend my time thinking negative thoughts about so-and-so. Like, you know, like, will you stop it? So, that broke the ice, and we had a wonderful relationship. But like, I had better things to do my life than spend the whole day thinking about negative thoughts about this guy. But he couldn't imagine anything other than that. I guess that's the mashgiach's job. I don't know, whatever he thought, right? That their job is to spend time thinking negative thoughts about people. But why is that normal? why are you judging Moshe? Like, what's your business? Let's say he's wrong. Okay, and now what? So if it's, and if you really care, so go speak to him about it. But what are you having a conversation with Aaron about it? Tzara, stop, you're judging. So the Torah says, that's wrong. That's Lashon Hara. Before you say the words, let's say the Ruach HaMecha, you're spending your time judging, looking at people else. What are you doing? Spend your life looking at somebody else. Get a life, as they say in English. This Lashon Hara is, in three words, get a life. If you have a positive life, full of it, you're not going to spend your time with Lashon Hara. And when you do want to speak, a person who feels good about himself enjoys making people feel good. So use your Lashon for Lashon Tov, for positive accomplishments instead of then for Lashon Hara.